What's going on, New Philly? How's everyone doing today? Let me tell you, the weather outside is awesome. It's a new season. I stepped outside this morning thinking I needed a jacket, and then I was like, I'm burning up. It's great. If you're glad to be in the house of the Lord today, say, I'm really glad to be in the house of the Lord. Say, I'm really glad to be here. I'm glad to be here too. I loved what our sister Naomi prayed. She said that we would have spiritual ears, that God would open up our ears to hear. You know, the Bible says, you know, to he who has an ear, let him hear. That you have to incline your ear to understanding. That you don't just listen to the word of God as if you would listen to talking to anybody else. You have to incline your ear, meaning that you have to listen at a higher level. Meaning that you have to actually begin to open yourself up to listen to things and consider things that maybe if it were a conversation with your homegirl or your homeboy, you'd be like, well, homegirl, your friends. It would be like, well, whatever. But when the word of God is being preached, you have to actually begin to listen differently. I love that she said that. That's because that's a powerful thing. You have to open up your spiritual eyes. You have to see things differently if you want to walk in the ways that God has for you. I'm so excited to preach. If you don't know who I am, my name is Marcus. I'm from North Carolina. Come on and raise up. And if you don't know, I'm from North Carolina. I may make a lot of different references to hip hop and hip hop music and stuff, but if you don't get it, it's fine. Just do not YouTube what I said later. But I like to have fun. And I believe we should have fun in the house of God. Amen? Amen. If there's one place you should laugh, if there's one place you should have fun, it should be in God's house. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so when you're in God's house, you got to be alive. It's got to be life. I want to talk about being in God's house today. I want to talk to you on a few thoughts, a few topics on the topic, keys to a flourishing life. Keys to a flourishing life. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Psalm 92. We're going to look at three verses. Psalm 92, verses 12 to 14. If you don't have your Bible, as I always say, just lean to the person next to you. Get in their personal space and look along with them. Psalm 92, 12 to 14, keys to a flourishing life. If you're taking notes today, that's the title of today's message. Psalm 92, 12 to 14, it says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. In the New King James, it says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Verse 13, I want to focus on this today. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Somebody say fresh.
Fresh.
Somebody say flourishing.
Flourishing.
You know, I almost called this sermon fresh to death. I was like, should I call it fresh to death? Nah. And then I knew that the black people in the room would shake their head like, nah. And as soon as I said fresh to death, y'all did it. No, I'm just kidding. If that makes you uncomfortable, I'm sorry. Anyways, let's keep going. Flourishing. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. God's desire for your life is to flourish. God's desire for your life is for you to flourish. What does it mean to flourish? I looked it up. It means to grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way, especially as a result of a particularly favorable environment. To flourish means to develop rapidly and successfully. It means to be at the height of one's career, during a period of time. To flourish. It can also mean to have something that attracts others. To be attractive is to flourish. You know, people who are flourishing, they're real attractive. That's right. There's something about people who are fully alive that draws other people. There's something about those people who have a life that is constantly developing, constantly growing, constantly filled with vitality and life that is just so attractive. In fact, God wants that life for you. God's will for your life is for you to flourish in every circumstance. Some people say that sounds like a prosperity gospel. God's will for your life is for you to prosper in all things, even as your soul prospers. God wants you to flourish. You know, I was meditating on this all week because I was thinking about how God just kept speaking to my heart. Marcus, I want you to flourish. Marcus, my desire for your life is to flourish. My desire for you is to continue to grow in a vigorous way. God wants you and I to flourish. Why? Because he desires good things for our lives. John 10:10, Jesus said, "For the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." That's talking about a flourishing life. Not only that, but, you know, we've been doing this sermon series on being a blessing to the city and a theology of the city, about how the church of God is placed in the city. We need to be in the city and be a blessing to the city because the city is important to God's ultimate purposes for the earth. But you know what? You're not a blessing to the city unless you're flourishing. You know, churches that aren't flourishing, they're not blessings to the city. They're burdens to the city. Churches that are filled with people who are doing the opposite of flourishing, which is dying and withering away, that's not a blessing, that's a burden. But when you have a life that is flourishing, a life that is continuing to bring forth fruit, continuing to be filled with life, that's not only a blessing to the city, that's attractive to the city. It begins to open up doors for other people who may be outside of the church to say, hey, what's going on over there? What's going on in your life? When stuff goes bad with me, everything falls together. But when stuff goes bad for you, it seems like things just get better. How is that? What is that about? You know why people follow Jesus? It's because Jesus lived a life that was flourishing. When Jesus walked through the door and when he walked through the streets, it was just like he just looked alive. It wasn't just because he was healing people. It wasn't just because he was like, you're healed. Boom. You know, he was just walking through. But there was something about Christ that was filled with so much life that other people were attracted to it. That's the kind of life that God has for every believer in Christ. It says that the righteous shall flourish. They shall grow like a cedar. They shall grow like a palm tree. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They shall flourish. It says that even in your old age, you will flourish. That means that for the righteous, God's will for your life isn't just for a season, the things to be good, and then for things to drop off, and then for things to be good, and then for things to drop off, but for you to have a continued life of increase. Have you ever met old people who are really on fire for Jesus? It's like off the hook, right? You like walk up to them and they're just on fire for the Lord. They're so excited about every single day. And you're looking at yourself like, what is life? You know, two summers ago, I went to Trinidad and Tobago. Awesome. I mean, that was flourishing for me. I was by the beach. And I met this couple because I was a groomsman at my friend's. I will be a groom this summer. But I was a groomsman at one of my friend's weddings, and he flew me to the Caribbean. He flew me to Trinidad, and I went to his wedding, and I was there, and I was talking to the bride's parents. And they were this elderly couple, and I was just talking to them, and I was like, so what's going on with your life? And they were like, man, everything is awesome. I was like, y'all watched the Lego movie? What's going on? Like, and they're like saying, like, everything in life is so good. We just retired. I was like, oh, man, congrats. Like, that's why you're at the beach, right? You're going to move to Florida. What are you going to do? Like, you're going to go straight to the beach. And they said, oh, no, no. In a month, we're moving to Albania. Wait, huh? Yeah, we're moving to Albania to be missionaries. I was like, how old are you guys? And like, well, I'm 73. She's 70. And I was like, I looked at myself, I was like, what am I doing with my life? For them, retirement was going to the missions field. For them, retirement was saying, you know what? I ain't done yet. I got more to do. This is the fulfillment of what David's saying here in Psalm 92, that they shall bear fruit in old age. That God's desire for your life is for you to be 70 and saying, I still got more. He's also for you to say when you're 25, I still got more. See, I'm here to encourage you today, church. God's desire for your life is for you to flourish. You know, I don't mean a life without problems. Everybody has problems. Jesus had problems. But what I mean is that you continue to grow in spite of them. You continue to move forward in spite of them. And that is the most attractive thing. We want to talk about being a blessing to the city. It's living a flourishing life. So I want to talk about real quick some keys to a flourishing life. And I feel like they're in this passage. They're in Psalm 92. Keys to a flourishing life. I want us to start by looking at verse 13. It says in the NKJV, it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, everyone say planted, shall flourish in the courts of our God. You know what? If you want to flourish in your life, if you want to have a flourishing life, the Bible tells us that the key is to be planted in God's house. Yeah. That if you want to flourish, if you know, there's that statement, you want to bloom where you're planted. You know, if you really want to flourish in life, you've got to be planted in the house of God. Yeah. And that means two things. The first thing that it means to be planted is that you've got to be committed. You've got to be committed. You know, whenever you plant anything, I don't know how many of you guys have planted stuff, but I have. I told you guys that before. I planted stuff once. My grandmother, she has a garden. I'll talk about that garden later, but she would drag me out there. And most of the time I would just stand right at the edge. And then one day she actually made me start to like get up in there. And you know that if anything, if you are going to plant something, it means you've got to, that when you plant something, it means that you're stable, you're committed, you let down your roots in a particular place. That's where that statement comes from. And so many people in life, they want to flourish, but they don't want to be planted. They want to flourish, but they don't want to be committed. But the Bible says that if you want to flourish in life, you've got to be committed. We understand this for certain areas of our life, right? We know that if I want to flourish physically, I got to be committed to the gym. You can't just be coming in talking about, man, why don't I see results yet? And it's like, hey, bro, how many times you go to the gym? I went 3 times in the past month. It's like, listen, you're not going to flourish physically, right? We know that in a relationship or in your bank account, if you don't plant something in that bank account's not going to flourish, right? But for some reason in the house of God, we don't have that mindset. In the house of God, we say, you know what, I'll be committed a little bit. I'll be committed a little bit. Or we jump back and forth between our commitment. But the truth of the matter is that if you're not committed to the house of God, you won't flourish in God's courts. Something that God was speaking to me about is he said that flakiness and flourishing don't work together. You cannot flourish and be flaky at the same time. If you want to flourish, you've got to be committed. You know, plants don't grow where they're constantly being uprooted and then placed in another environment. You know, if you plant something and then next week you pick it up and you put it in a bowl, a mason jar, and then you put it somewhere else and then you put it somewhere else, after a while that it's not going to flourish, right? It's common sense that you cannot do that in order to have something really flourish. But the truth of the matter is that many of us live that kind of life. But you cannot have sustained growth from going from place to place. If you want to flourish, if you want to have a life that continues to flourish, then you've got to make a commitment to put down your roots and stay there. You've got to make a commitment that this is the place that God has for me, and I'm going to be planted here, and I'm going to be committed here, and it doesn't matter what's going to happen, I'm going to stay in this place. And here's the biggest thing. Your level of flourishing is connected to your level of commitment. The deeper you are committed, the higher up you'll be able to flourish. If you want to be committed to us at a shallow level, then in life you won't see growth happen at a higher level. You may be a leader in this house and you're like wondering, why am I stagnant? Why am I experiencing this in my spiritual walk? And the truth is, it's because God's calling you to get committed at a deeper level. Maybe you're new to church and you just walked into the door and you feel like, you know what, I want more. I want to be at a higher place. I know that I need God. I know that I need to grow in my spiritual walk. But then it's like, hey, bro, you should sign up for a CG. You should sign up for a connect group. You should sign up and get in our community groups and really go deeper. And we say, well, I don't know about that. I don't know about committing. I don't know about going deeper. And it's like, well, that's why you're not flourishing, because you're not committing. If you want to flourish, the first thing you got to do is commit. Commitment is the base key in terms of having a flourishing life. And the interesting thing is, it's the thing that Satan attacks the most, isn't it? The moment stuff starts to go wrong, that's the moment when we want to pull away our commitment. The moment we start to experience certain issues or things start, all the storms of life start coming around us, that's the moment where we say, you know what? I need to pull back. I need to not come to church so much. I need to not be committed to that CG. I need to not be committed to other people. And that's actually the moment when you need to be the most committed. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. You know why that tree continues to grow? You know why that tree continues to flourish? It's because it's continuing to go deeper. It's continuing to be planted. If you want to grow in your spiritual walk, you've got to continue to renew your commitment to God's house. It sounds simple, but it's actually the most important truth. And what I've been realizing is that commitment requires faith. You know, like I said, I'm getting married in July. And I'm really excited. But what I'm realizing is that this next level of commitment requires a lot of faith. All the engaged brothers in the house, you say amen? I was going to say, don't say nothing. That was a trap. I'm sorry. Because as things go on and the deeper that you are committed in a relationship, what you begin to notice is that you begin to see more of that person. You know, in the courtship stage when you're like, hey, can I ask you out on a date? You know, you've been watching them from afar. You're like, oh, man, she's wonderful. Oh, even the way she laughs is cute. Don't tell me I'm the only one who thinks that stuff. I know the guys all think that. You know, DJ right here from Sydney, him and Lydia, they're getting married this upcoming Saturday. And I know when DJ walked in and he saw Lydia from afar, he said, even the way she plays the keys are cute. Because she used to be up here on the keyboard. The way she just, that pinky, so attractive. And so, like, you see that aspect of that person, you're like, oh my gosh, even the way they laugh. Oh my gosh, her fashion sense. You know, so you didn't get to know her. You go out on a few dates, and then you're like, man, like, oh, she's even more awesome than I thought. You know, you notice all these things, you're like, oh, she's so wonderful. You have that first fight. And there's disillusionment sets in because you're like, I don't know how we could ever disagree. Who are you? But then you work through it, right? You work through it, you know, and then over time, you're like, you know what? I want to go further. I want to step into that next level. So then you go to BlueNile.com or wherever you go to the jewelry store and you start looking at rings. And you pick out that ring. I remember when I proposed to Anna, I picked out the ring. And I remember that place order button. I hovered over that thing 50 times. I ain't never bought a gift for myself that cost this much. This is taking a lot of faith right now. I'm having to believe. That's when I realized that deeper commitment, in order to experience the flourishing of a relationship, it requires a deeper commitment, and that takes deeper faith. It actually requires deeper faith because the cost begins to increase. I remember hovering over that place order button, and then I pressed place order. And I walked outside my room, and my roommates were standing out there, and they were like, bro, are you okay? They were like, you look sick. Are you all right? Apparently my face, oh, she's going to listen to this. No, she's not. I remember they said it looked like the blood in my face was not there anymore, which meant I had to have really been stressed because I'm black. Like, how do you, like, for me to look pale is a huge thing. But you know what I've realized is as our relationship has been progressing, what I've noticed is that with each step, it takes more faith. Commitment takes faith. But if you want a life that's going to flourish, you also have to accept the fact that commitment is going to require faith. That's why a synonym for being committed is being faithful. When someone is faithful, that means they're committed. And if you really want to experience all that God has for your life, the first thing you got to do is you got to make a commitment. Maybe the commitment for you is simple. It's just saying, I'm going to come to the house of God every Sunday, regardless of whether it rains outside or whether it's snowing outside. Because I know sometimes the weather be forcing people not to come to church. But you're saying, whether or not I feel like it, whether or not I want to, I'm going to be planted in the house of God. I'm going to be planted in his presence. I'm going to be planted around his people. I'm going to make sure that I'm committed. The second thing you have to do is that you have to begin to open up your heart and be connected. You know, when a plant puts its roots down into soil, if it doesn't, you know, those roots have a purpose, right? What are the purpose of those roots? It's to receive nourishment from the soil. But so many people, they say, I'm planted here. This is the church for me. But then we put up walls in terms of receiving. We say, yeah, I don't really want that. Yeah, I don't really, you know, I'll take that, but I'm not going to take that. Yeah, I'm not going to take that. And we put up these walls, and those walls actually prevent us from flourishing. You can be planted in a place. You can say, this is the house for me. This is where I'm going to be. But if you're planted here, but you've got walls up around you, you might as well not be planted. You might as well not be here. Because even though you're here, you're not receiving everything that you need to actually flourish. You know, and just like for a plant, the deepest part of a plant, its roots, are the most important for it to have life. For humans, we're the same way. Our hearts are the most important place for us to have life. My question to you today is, where is your heart at towards the house of God? Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows all the issues of life. You know, if you are to really grow and really flourish here in this house, you've got to begin to open up your heart to the people in this house. You've got to begin to open up your heart to be vulnerable. You've got to open up your heart to allow people to speak in the areas of your life that you normally wouldn't allow. You know, today I'm speaking this message for some of you. You may be seasoned believers. You feel like this is a simple message for me today. But it's actually a message that we never graduate from, because Satan oftentimes attacks our commitment. And then the next thing he attacks is our connection. And so then we walk around saying, I feel disconnected. I hear so many people say that. I come to church every week, but I feel disconnected. I've made my efforts to come, but I feel disconnected. And the issue may not be the environment that you're in. The issue may be that your heart is closed. But if you want to flourish and if you want to grow, what you have to learn to do is to begin to open up your heart to the people around you, even to words that you may not like. You know, last year was the year of wisdom for our church. But it was also, for me personally, at the beginning of the year, God met me in the place of prayer. And he said, Marcus, 2014 is going to be the best year of your life yet. And I was like, hallelujah. I was like, I'm going to get married. I'm like, God's going to like break. I'm going to get like a supernatural, like some bank account, like something's going to happen crazy there. I'm going to be in the best physical shape. I'm going to look like one of those dudes that do CrossFit. I'm going to be like, it's just by the end of the year. I was like, seriously, I was like, I'm going to look like The Rock. I was like, I thought that all these things were going to happen. And kid you not, last year was the best year of my life yet. Like I experienced so much life and vitality, like so much. God was just breathing in all these areas of my life. But the interesting thing was that in March, God forced me to go deeper and to open myself up more than I ever had before. I remember in March, I was, for you guys who know my testimony, for the first 15 years of my life, I lived in an abusive household. So 3-4 times a week, my stepdad, he would just say things to me. He would yell things at me. I was even physically hit. Like there was so much that I saw, so much that I experienced, and it was really hard. And then after that, we were homeless for 2 months. And then we moved into the projects in North Carolina. And then after that was when I was atheist for 6 years. I encountered God. And then after that, God's just been so faithful. But there were a lot of memories from those 15 years. Because as a kid, in order to get through it, you just kind of get rid of stuff. You just bury certain things. You don't remember certain things or certain memories. It never happened. But last year in March, I remember I was at our house of prayer. And I was at our house of prayer and I was worshiping and I was praying and I was praying and I was just like, God, you're so good and you're so amazing. And all of a sudden, I got a flashback. I got a flashback to when I was 7 years old and my stepdad, he picked me up. We were at the pool. And I didn't know how to swim, all right? Like, I was one of those kids, yes, who had, like, the things, right? And I was up in the shallow end, and I was having a great time like that. I wasn't getting in the deep end. I didn't know how to swim. And I didn't have these, what are they called? Floaties. See, I don't want to call them floaties. I'm going to just call them those things on. Floaties sounds mad manly. I had these floaties on, right? He picked me up out of the shallow end. He carried me over to the deep end and he threw me in and he just left me there. And I tried my best and I tried my best. And then I started to fall. I started to drown. And right before I was like gasping all this water, they pulled me out and he was laughing at me. This memory comes up right when I'm telling God how great he is. I'm like, what is that? I'm like, I bind you, Satan. Get out of my face, devil. But it kept sticking with me. Then I was like, oh, that was weird. I don't know what that is. Then the next week, I'm in my room and I'm praying. And then all of a sudden, another memory comes up. Another memory that I'd hidden. I didn't even realize was hidden in my heart. It's memory that came up where we were outside and we were playing baseball. And I was pitching to him. I was throwing the baseball at him. And then he was trying to hit a home run. He really wanted to hit a home run. And so I was like 9 years old. And he's like, throw me the ball right here. And so he keeps trying. But I was a really good pitcher. So I kept striking him out, right? I thought that was a good thing. But he got so angry, he threw the bat at me. And he started cursing me out. And as a kid, I was traumatized. I didn't know what to do. And so what did I do with that memory? I just shoved it away. And then what happened the next week, another memory came up. After the third memory, I was just mad at God. I was like, God, what are you doing? Like, thank you for bringing this up, but I'm cool. But God kept bringing this stuff up. And I knew that what God wanted me to do was to go to Pastors Christian and Pastor Aaron, our lead pastors, who are the pastor over me. I knew God wanted me to go to them and say, listen, here are the memories that are coming up. I don't know what to do with it. This is what I went through. I completely forgot about it. What should I do? I knew God wanted me to do it, but every time God said, you should talk to Pastor Christian, I was like, no, God, I'm good. No, God, I'm good. I don't want to talk to Pastor Christian. Why? Because if I tell him all these things, I'm going to open myself up to get hurt. If I allow myself to be connected with him in that kind of way, I'm going to open myself up to injury. I was like, God, nah, I'm good. So I talked to some of my friends about it. I told my friends about what's going on. And you know what my friends say? When you're going through stuff like that, friends oftentimes have the worst advice. They're just like, man, that's so hard, bro. Yeah, that's rough. Did you see the Warriors game? You know, I'm like, I just shared my life. What are you talking about? You know, guys, we need to get better at that, but it's whatever. And so my friends, they weren't helping me at all. And so I was like, man, I actually got to go to my pastor. And so I go to him and I tell him everything that's going on. You know why I did? I did not just because my friends weren't helpful. Because when I was praying, God was like, listen, if you don't go to him, you're not going to experience all that I have for you. These areas in your heart, these areas that you're dealing with, these areas right now, they're blocking the life of God to flow through your life. You don't realize it, but you're actually living from these memories, Marcus. And I did. I realized it as I was talking to Pastor Christian. He was saying, I told him about the moment where my stepdad threw me into the deep end. He said, what do you think God means by that? I was like, I don't know. And he said, well, you know what, Marcus? I noticed that whenever me and Pastor Aaron challenge you to do something that you feel like is too big for you, the first, well, you get so anxious. And I was like, you know what? I always feel like I'm drowning. And last time that happened, I felt so bitter because I felt like that you guys abandoned me. And he was like, oh, Marcus, I think that the root of that is not what we did to you, it was what was done to you when you were a child. When I told him about this other memory, he was like, oh, Marcus, I understand now. He's like, I was like, what? He was like, yeah, those moments when I sometimes lose my temper. That's why you get so anxious. It's not so much because of me, but it's because you're living from what happened to you when you were a child. All of a sudden, this breakthrough began to come into my life. After that, what happened? My relationship with them was transformed. But not only my relationship with them, but my relationship with everyone else around me. Because I began to realize, oh my gosh, that is why I was living that certain way. All these areas in my heart that were so blocked, all of a sudden, because I was connected, because I was beginning to allow other people and allow God to allow the things in the house of God to flow into my life, there was new life that was beginning to flow in me. See, if you really want to have a flourishing life, you've got to open yourself up to connection. You've actually got to allow some of those walls and some of those deep hurts and some of those things that you feel like if I share, it's going to make me vulnerable. You've got to allow people to connect and to go in there, because if not, you won't actually receive all the life that God has for you. You hear what I'm saying today, church? I know that my story, a lot of you don't have that kind of story, but a lot of us do. And for many of us, we find ourselves living from past hurts when God wants us to let down those walls so we can receive his healing. Maybe in the previous season, you were in a place that was really bad soil. You were maybe even in a church where you were getting beat up, you were getting broken down, everything was so dry and religious, and so you got walls up when you come into this house. But now God's challenging you to, as you're in this house, to be planted, and not only that, to begin to let some of those walls come down so that you can receive all that God has for you. You know, today's message isn't some, like, I always say it all the time, boom shakalaka kind of thing, where you're like, wow, man, that was so deep. My mind is over there. But the funny thing is that if you don't connect with these things, those things don't matter. Because the heart is the place of understanding. And if you don't get your heart right before God, it doesn't matter what your mind enjoys. If you don't get your heart right with God and with his people, if you don't get connected, if you don't get planted, then all this other stuff, it's meaningless. You've got to be committed. You've got to be connected. And then the last thing, verse 14, it says, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. I love the word still in verse 14. It implies that those who are planted in the house of God, they never stop bearing fruit. They continuously have been bearing fruit. They are flourishing. Not they're flourished. They flourished, but they are flourishing, meaning that there is this continual aspect of pursuing after this kind of flourishing life. There's this continued aspect of constantly moving forward. And I interpret that to mean a continuous process of pursuing revival in your life. That you don't just hit a place where you feel good and you're done, but where you're always moving forward, always pursuing the next level, always going deeper and always pushing forward. God wants our lives to be ones that are one level after another level of getting fresher and fresher and fresher and fresher, where we continuously are experiencing new levels in our spiritual walk. Where right now you may be at a certain level, but do you have a vision for the next level? Right now you may be at a certain place with God, but do you have insight for the next place? God wants that to be your vision for your life in this season. That right now I may be at this place and it may be good, it may be bad, but I believe that God has even more for me in this next season. You know, I live in Hapjeong. And when I go home, I always stop by this mart. It's called Hapjeong Mart. Real clever name, right? And I go to Hapjeong Mart, and I don't know what it is. I'm, like I said, I'm from North Carolina. I'm from the States, but I don't know what it is about Korea. But in Korea, I always feel like when I buy fruit, that for some reason, I'm always like, do I buy fruit on, like, the last day they're good? Is it just me? Like, because when I'm in the mart and I'm looking at those bananas, they look so good. They look so fresh. And then I take them home. I eat, like, three. And then the next morning I wake up and all my bananas are rotten. You ain't never had that happen? Like, for some reason in Korea, I mean, I love this nation. We bless this nation. Hallelujah. But when I go and get, like, you know, I go get my apples. I'm like, man, these apples, it's like, they're so red. They got the little beads on them. Like, they're glistening. Like, oh my gosh, it's so fresh. But then I take them home and I put them down. And then I get the next morning, I'm like, I'm about to get me some apples. And I'm like, this junk is brown. What happened? I realize that so many believers are like that in their spiritual walks. When you step into the house of God, you're like that apple. All the lights are shining, you're glistening. But then when we get home, or we have those moments where we're fresh. Oh, life is so good. Life is so good. Life is so good. But then the next moment where you feel like that day old banana, how'd you get brown so fast? How'd that happen? What I realize is that that's why being committed and connected is so important. Because with fruit, the moment they're cut off the vine, they start decaying. But if you're committed and you're connected, it doesn't matter what happens, you will continue to become fresh and you will continue to flourish. That's the reason why even in old age, they are green. Even in old age, they're flourishing. Why? Because in their old age, they are planted in the house of God. That means even when you go on vacation, you should be planted in the house of God. You should be planted in his presence. You should be saying, you know what? I know right now I don't know where a church is, but I know where two or more are gathered that Jesus is there with me. I know the Holy Spirit lives in me. I'm about to open up my Bible, invite Holy Spirit. There's two we have in church. You should be planted in the house of God. You should be connected there. But not only that, but you got to have a mindset that is constantly pursuing after being revived, being refreshed and growing. You know, psychologist Carol Dweck says there's two types of people. She did this study where there's two types of people, and only one type of them experience success in his life. And one type of people, they have a what is called a fixed mindset. meaning that they believe in their life that there's a certain measure that they will always hit. I'm only this talented. I'm only this anointed. I only have this amount of gifts. This is all I have. But then there's another type of person. And they say that this is the type of person that is found to be most successful in life. And it is the person who has what is known as a growth mindset. That means that in every situation, no matter what they go through, no matter how often they're tried, no matter if they get promoted or they get fired, no matter what happens if all their friends reject them, they know that every single situation in their lives is an opportunity for growth. They see each and everything happening in their lives as not something that's going to hold them back, but they see it as God pushing them forward. God's making them flourish. God's making them come alive. God's working on that area, so he's taking them further. You got to be committed, connected, and you got to have a constant mindset towards being flourishing. See, what God's put on my heart, even in the place of prayer for New Philly Itaewon, is that this would be a community, this would be a campus that's filled with people who are alive, people who are flourishing. That all of the New Philly campuses, that we would be people who are constantly flourishing in every area of our life. Because we're constantly planted in his presence and we're connected and we continue to allow that life to flow through us. That's what God has for us. That's the kind of life that he has for us. I want to see all you guys when you're 80 saying, I'm going to move to Albania. Because that's what God calls us to. Amen? Amen. I want us to go into a time of prayer real quick.